this meeting to order of the Senate Special Committee on Energy. Let the record reflect that it is 1:09 p.m. on Tuesday, March 15, 2016. We're in the Butcherovich Room 205. Let the record show we have a quorum to do business. Co-chair Senator Bishop is here. Senator Egan, we're at another meeting and we're awaiting Senator Hoffman and Senator Stedman, but they should be here momentarily. I'd like to recognize our committee staff. We have Ann Kreckelberg with Senate Records and Cody Grusendorf with the LIO, and of course Lynn Smith, my committee chair. Please turn off your cell phones. Purpose of today's meeting is the first hearing on two bills sponsored by Senator McGuire, 192 ADA Bonds Loans Fund, AEA loan, and Senate Bill 193, Extend Exemption for Small Power Plants. We're going to begin with Senate Bill 192, let's see, we have Duff Mitchell.
Jesse Logan.
Okay. Jesse Logan of Senator McGuire's staff is going to start us off. Sorry, looking at the wrong sheet here. Hello, Jesse. If you could introduce yourself for the record and present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for hearing the bill today. For the record, my name is Jesse Logan, Chief of Staff for Senator McGuire. Senate Bill 192 is a fairly simple bill. It does two things. First, it provides bonding authority to ADA to finance the Sweetheart Lake hydroelectric project up to $120 million. The second thing it does is it authorizes AEA to issue a loan through the Power Project Fund for necessary transmission lines for $22 million. However, it's the understanding of the sponsor that that organization is seeking alternative funding, and I would ask the committee to consider removing that portion of the bill in a future amendment or CS. But the Sweetheart Lake project is designed to have a maximum capacity of 19.8 megawatts. It's designed to fully supply power to the Kensington mine with firm power year-round. An additional supply may go to the Alaska Electrical Light and Power Company. The Kensington mine, as you know, is a major economic driver in the area. The project has the potential to lower the cost of the mine, but more importantly, to extend the economic life of the mine. It could also help realize environmental benefits from switching from diesel to clean hydropower. Additional power from that mine could be sold to AELMP and utilized for the Green Creeks mine, which currently buys power from them, but is undersupplied. As all of you know, with any ADA bonding authority, it does not obligate the state to pay. It does not obligate ADA to issue those bonds. But what it does do is it provides them the ability to move forward with suitability, feasibility, and due diligence analysis. If ADA deems the project suitable for financing, it would be necessary to issue bonds in order to make those loans. And the issuance of the bonds for sales provides an additional round of due diligence by the international bond market. This additional due diligence helps protect ADA's investment and thus helps ensure a solid return for the state of Alaska. Today we have Duff Mitchell from Juneau Hydropower to present a brief overview of the project, and he's got a PowerPoint that's ready whenever you are.
Okay, Mr. Mitchell, feel free to join us. Any questions for Jesse before he, Mr. Logan, before he leaves the desk here? Okay, thank you. Mr. Mitchell.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Duff Mitchell. I'm the managing director of Juneau Hydropower, and I live in Juneau, Alaska. I'm here to kind of give an overview of what we're doing, of why we're asking for money for ADA. Juneau Hydropower is a local Juneau-based company with local Juneau investors. And like Jesse said, he kind of summed up that we're looking at moving a lot of our power to the Kensington mine. But we're also looking at supplying power for Juneau District Heating. So I will quickly just jump into, as Jesse said, we're 19.8 megawatts. We're at the very southern tip of the city and borough of Juneau. There's that little fog lake is Sweetheart Lake. It's about 5.5 miles long, half mile wide. It was studied in 1906 and has been studied subsequently as a hydropower. It currently has a power site classification, so it actually has a federal reserve for hydropower. It's been studied over the years by Alaska Power Authority, U.S. Geological Service, and others. We're looking to construct this in 2016 and be in production in 2018. There's just a little map of where it situates in relationship to Juneau. It's 35 miles away, but it's only 8 miles away from the Ada Snedisham line. And as Jesse said, we're 19.8 megawatts, but our lake is designed to provide a lot of winter power and firm power. It's basically a storage facility lake project. It'll add about 25% new generation and capacity to Juneau. So we're looking at selling, obviously, to the Kensington mine. The other portion of our energy is to supply the needs of ALP as they need it, but also to support the powering of Juneau District Heating, which is using Alaska-based technology that has been developed in Juneau with the Ted Stevens Research Center. Of another generation of that technology is in the Seward Sea Life, the Sea Life Center in Seward, and now we're bringing that full circle around to provide a district heating in Juneau. Our partner.
We just welcome Senator Stedman, who's been here for quite a little while here, and Senator Hoffman, welcome.
I'll go back, and Emerson Climate Technologies is with the Emerson Company. They're a $22.5 billion sales company. They have developed this technology that will actually go to 180 to 190 degree heat. They have the patents for it. They've actually deployed this in Norway at the Drammen facility since 2011. So we're taking all of the lessons learned and bringing back this American technology and deploying it in Juneau. They're planting the American flag here in Juneau with their technology suite. Juneau District Heating will harvest heat from the Gastineau Channel right outside the window here. It's very, very efficient. It's 300% efficient. In fact, for every one unit of electricity you put in, it produces 3 units of kilowatts worth of BTUs of heat out. It'll circulate heat around Juneau from 180 to 190 degrees via a pipe distribution network. We can also directionally drill from basement to basement, so it's not a volatile fluid. And there will be some streets that need to be ripped up, but we should be able to put all of downtown Juneau on low-cost heating.
Just a question. Is this the NOAA building is currently running on this technology? Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The technology actually started in Juneau, but it's a little lower heat. Theirs is about 130 to 140 degrees. I think if my memory serves right, you may be visiting that facility later.
It's going to extend that invitation to committee members. I'm going out Friday at 5:30 if anyone's curious about how that system functions.
Yeah, and they kind of broke ground and kind of treaded where nobody else had treaded before doing this. It was quite innovative. And then the Seward Sea Life Center, the Sea Life Center in Seward, kind of added on to that technology suite because they need more controls to do the aquariums and different things where the NOAA is more for the building. And so, you know, we're really proud that this is an Alaska-based technology that we're bringing around full circle. And it's neat to see Alaskans developing this technology.
Yes. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mitchell, tell me about the go back the slide, the district heat, that one.
Yes,
there.
Sir.
Tell me about, is it seawater, or are you drilling a freshwater well out there in the bottom of the seafloor, or how's it going? How's this working?
That's a great question. I have a video, but I wanted to save time and because I could go on for hours, but that's a great question. We're taking seawater right out of the channel at about 100 feet down.
So is the piping, is it stainless steel? Is it plastic? How you just, you know, how do you, you've got some kind of corrosion inhibitor in?
You do the best you can, but nothing stops the sea. Barnacles and stuff will grow, so about every 3 months you run a pig through it and clean everything out. You do have filter systems and a box on the end of it to try to keep big stuff from coming in. Even though it moves a lot of water, it's at a low velocity, so it's not like it's a vacuum created at the bottom. But it is salt water, and then we bring the salt water in, and it hits the heat pump system, and it goes up, and then that water, salt water, goes back out into the sea. That heat is transferred to fresh water that is circulated. So what comes to the buildings is all fresh water.
Thank you.
So in essence, it's the reverse of a refrigerant. had, how long is your video?
It's about 2.5 minutes.
Are committee members interested in the video, Senator Hoffman?
What about salmon and other things that may be swimming out there?
That's a great question. What we've done is that, and we've learned from what the Seward Sea Life Center is, and the Sea Life Center at Seward, I keep getting them mixed up. They have filters because they don't want to obtain any critters coming up, and so has the technology at the NOAA Center, which is also, you know, fisheries related. And so they've come up with devices to block out any fish. It doesn't stop the microscopic barnacles and other things that come in, but it does stop out all of the fish and octopus that could.
Was your question because you wanted to protect them, or you wanted to harvest some that way? Well, why don't you show us the video? 2.5 minutes isn't bad.
We've okay, got... let me escape out of here and see if I can go to the disc.
Well, committee members, if you like a road trip on Friday afternoon, let me know. We have a vehicle large enough for everyone if you're interested.
Well, we're waiting for the video to load. It looks like it's thinking. John Cooper, the individual in his team that did this, won a federal award, was actually invited to the White House because it saved so much money. It was one of those renewable projects that actually saved so much money that they won an award from the administration.
Well, we'll watch it anyway, in spite of that.
Well, I'm trying to get it to play. I have a touch screen where I always hit it, so I don't know how to hit the play on the thing.
I'll watch it for you, Mr. Chair.
Great. After all of that effort, I really apologize. I don't know how to get the thing to go. I'm hitting enter.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
While he can multitask. Mr. Mitchell, you never told me. I wasn't clear. The piping, what's it made out of?
It's made out of metal. It's a metal pipe with some HDP, some parts in it, but it's a metal pipe.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah,
we have no speakers, so you'll have to.
I'll have to talk.
Or are we wired in sound wise?
It's not. I hit the on button. There we go. There it goes.
Put the microphone down by the speaker.
There you go. That's a good idea.
It's a terrible idea, says the LAO staff. So we'll soon be getting past the anti-hydrocarbon stage?
Well, it is clean. Yeah, it's got two sides of green. It's no hydrocarbons, but it also saves money. So it's green from both sides.
Okay.
If it's through talking about the process.
Okay.
So that, just a question for me, the just exchanging heat doesn't provide enough efficiency. It has to be condensed. How is the heat condensed?
Well, it's actually taking the heat out of the channel, and it's cycling it through, and it condenses it through the condenser. I'm not an engineer, but it's the same basis as the refrigerator, and
same. I'm going to try to get out of this now, since I clicked it out early. I apologize. I'm trying to do two things at once. The heat pump technology has been around for over 100 years. The fact that it can get up to 180 degrees is where the new wave is, the new generation. And so it condenses around, gets it up to 180 degrees, takes about 4 or 5 degrees out of the salt water, and then puts it back actually colder. And so it's only taken 4 or 5 degrees out of the salt water, but then it goes back in and then circulates it around.
You can just minimize that, I think. Go back to your slideshow.
Okay, great.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this technology will work here in Juneau, but how far north can this technology be utilized?
Well, sewer is further north than us, and it really depends on the temperature of the water as opposed to latitude. They do have a seawater heat pump system in Norway that's above the Arctic Circle. I don't know how efficient it is. It's actually one of the older ones that is out there. But Drom in Norway, where this current technology is about 118 miles north of Juneau, which would put it at Kodiak-Yakutat line, I think.
And does it have to be salt water?
No, actually, it can come from any water source. I mean, if there's already a geothermal, you could pump one of these into a geothermal. You could put it into a lake that had warm water all year round at deeper water.
Okay.
So, Juneau Hydropower energizes the Juneau District Heating like we're talking about, but also energizes the Kensington Mine, which is currently on diesel generation. So it lengthens the mine length, extends the tax base by using local hydropower resources, as I said before, we're providing power for the Juneau District Heating. And then this is the Lynn Canal transmission, which would run an extension line out to Kensington, which doesn't exist right now. We would be putting a submarine cable across Berners Bay to help bring the power to Kensington. That would be done by us. And so that is the line extension that this project would help in part assist. And so Juneau's, with this whole system, Juneau's electricity costs go down. Recently, the RCA passed new regulations that says that if there's any purchases by a local utility, they must be just and reasonable and not discriminate against the qualifying facility, but also not adversely affect the consumers of the electric utility. And so the RCA would not allow a sale to occur if it actually impacted negatively rates. And the other thing is that when we transmit line, we're going through ADA, which then gives ADA more revenue across their line at the Snettisham facility, but also provides additional revenue to ALMP's transmission. And so we're not getting this transmission for free. As we wheel this across, we have to pay a fee. And if that fee, if those fees, if they're above, you know, if this pushes the rate of equity above the local utility, then it also has a pressure to have the rates go down. So we see this as just improved business competitiveness, and hydropower always beats diesel whenever it's firm. I'm sorry,
Senator Regan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Duff, so I've been told that we have to upgrade the system from Lena Point out to, well, eventually all the way to Kensington. So who pays for the upgrade from Lena Cove on out.
That would be Juno Hydropower through Lynn Canal Transmission Corporation.
So you take care of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cost causer, cost payer situation, and that would be, I shouldn't say Juno Hydropower. Eventually, that ends up in Wayne's rates, but yes, we'll try to prorate that over 30 years and keep it as low as possible because we want that mine competitive.
When you talk about Wayne's rates, can you please clarify there are...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Kensington Mine, Wayne Zagarlik. The Corps General Manager will be testifying later. So thank you, Mr. Chair. So Juno's heating costs go down with Juno District Heating. This is a very efficient process, 300%, and these savings are passed on to provide lower cost heating. And, it also, nothing against fossil fuels, but this is a local resource, and it also helps insulate Juno from any, fossil fuel volatility and price changes, that the state's dealing with right now. And, competition and adding another fuel source or another heating source into Juno, is just competition and with free markets drive prices down. So our Sweetheart Lake hydropower benefits is we're going to put about $125 million private capital investment in Juno's future. We're going to create 85 construction jobs and about 35 indirect jobs. The Juno District Heating would create another $25 million investment and would create another load of construction jobs and indirect jobs. So it reduces Juno's cost of living through this process. And then the Lynn Canal benefits, it's about $22 million investment of private capital to do the transmission line. And, again, it creates jobs where they're really needed here in Juno right now and provides economic development during this period of time where our state's declining. We're going to be creating a bunch of construction activity in Juno, probably when Juno needs it the most.
Those numbers, just a question about why the construction, the hydro construction jobs are so low.
The 85 construction jobs? It's about a two-year project. The dam is actually very small. It's the tunnel and some of the other things that are create the jobs. The dam is only 111 feet high, about 278 feet across. It can be done in one construction season. So we covered that. Our team is looking forward to make this happen. We're looking forward to having ADA participate in our financing. We're not looking at ADA to fully take the full load of this. We're looking at equity and private capital investment. So we're bringing this whole technology suite around. We're really excited about the Juno District Heating, and we see this as a technology that can be transferred to other locations in Southeast Alaska. We're just looking forward to providing the Alaska leadership and making it happen with our community and with our community players and our local labor. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Questions for Mr. Mitchell?
Yep,
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah. Mr. Mitchell, how many dollars has the Juno Hydro invested to date in the project?
Hard dollars, about $4 million.
Thank you.
There's a lot of additional soft dollars invested.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We are going to open public testimony for Senate Bill 192. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? I think we have some folks that have to leave soon. Is that right? Ms. Becker, do you want to start so that we don't hold you up?
I'm just a few days out of a wheelchair, so excuse my walking. Good afternoon, and thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee, for allowing this time for testimony. I'm Mary Becker. I am the Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau. And I just thought it was important to leave Southeast Conference so that I could tell you that the Assembly unanimously voted for a letter of support for the Juno Hydropower Sweetheart Lake Dam project and the district heating. And that is a on record, and we thought it was important that you know that we did that. And I didn't have anything else to say other than to tell you that Juneau is, the city and borough of Juneau is supportive of this project.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Questions for, do I call you Mayor Becker? Yes.
Thank you.
You bet. Pardon?
Today.
I know. I saw a few signs. Next, Mr. Well, Grassi, are you? Where is he? Oh, there he is. He's hiding.
if you want to, if anybody else wants to speak, I can stay longer.
No, we're, I think we're okay. I think that was the only testifier that had to leave early. Ms. Becker was.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Paul Grassi, and I'm here representing the plumbers and pipe fitters of Alaska and also the iron workers. And I think building trades in general here in Juneau. We support this project because it's about jobs for us, and it's about the economy. You know, we're not going to have a capital projects coming up that are coming from the state. There's just no... the capital budgets for the state are going to be pretty small. They're going to be, and what we have, they're probably going to be matching from, it'll be horizontal projects. So, you know, we got to come up with creative ways of coming up with vertical projects. And we think this and some of the other projects out there as a way of doing this. And, you know, I don't want to be a big downer on this, but I think we're heading to a recession of some kind, or at least it appears that way, and these are the kind of things that can soften that landing. This is the kind of projects that will help create jobs or replace jobs that we're going to lose in the future. So it is about jobs. I calculated somewhere around 100 construction jobs total for all three of the types of the three projects. I call it three projects, but it's those three systems that they're going to be working on, and 5 to 10 permanent full-time positions in the processing plant itself. This is just permissive language. It doesn't require ADA to loan this money. It just allows ADA to do their due diligence and determine whether this is a viable project. So, it's really, there's no real risk here for the state. I mean, ADA does a great job if they're allowed to do their job. And, the state doesn't really... The state doesn't have that much risk, if any. And I was calculating this, and this is just a rough estimate for me, and I'm not a banker, I'm not a mathematician, but if the state loans the 100, or if the ADA loans the 120 million, the state may make as much as 120 million off of this, or at least the ADA will. And I don't know what the dividend will be for the state, but it will be some, be significant. So this will allow this value-added, industry to happen. And of course, if ADA determines it's not viable, it won't happen. But it'll also provide power to the Kensington mine, and I'm not going to speak for Kensington because they're here, and I assume they're going to testify. But it would allow for Kensington to lower its costs and potentially expand. I know they've talked about some potential expansion in the future. This may help that. We hope that it'll help that, because of course that'll mean some additional jobs. The other thing that I think is important to think about in this project and other projects like it is that we've got a skilled workforce that if there's no jobs for them, they're going to have to leave the state to find jobs. And this, I'm talking about in the construction trades. And this project will help keep those skilled workers in state. If we ever get to that point where we have one of the mega projects, the gas line, and I believe we will have a gas line, you got to have the workers to do that project. But if they leave because of there's no jobs for them now, a lot of them won't come back. They'll find jobs in other cities and areas, and some of them will come back. They will. But a lot of them won't, and these are people that we've put a lot of time, effort, and money in training. They're highly skilled, and they're necessary for this not only this project, but other large projects. So, I would urge the committee to pass this bill out. And I would also like to say one other thing, and this has little to do with jobs, but it fascinated me. This heating district. It is kind of interesting, and it may be one of the answers for some of the other areas of the state, the rural areas. I know they all have energy problems, and this may be an answer for some of that, at least the heating district, because it could lower costs in other areas. This, at least, we'll know one way or the other whether it works. If we go through with this and it does work, it may be viable in other areas. With that, I guess I would be amenable to answering any questions you might have.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go. I don't know if we've got two people off net here. We've got Robert Grimm from the Alaska Power and Telephone Company. Mr. Grimm, are you online?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to give a two-minute timer. I love Mr. Grassi, but we have a lot of folks to go through. So, okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be brief. I think this is a very innovative project, and as the previous person providing testimony stated, it's just permissive language. There's still a lot of due diligence that ADA will have to conduct. But I think it's worth the effort and would really appreciate the committee passing this legislation on.
Thank you, Mr. Grimm. Questions for Mr. Grimm? Okay, thank you. We're going to go to Mr. Kraft, independent power producer, Delta Wind Farm in Fairbanks. Mr. Kraft?
Hi, good afternoon. I just like to show my support for this project. I've been involved in renewable energy development in Alaska for about the last 8 years, and it's been a very, very tough battle to try and bring these kinds of projects forward. And I see where, we developed this recipe at some point in time where we wanted 50% renewables and we wanted to attract private capital in the private sector. And I think that us IPPs out here heard that message loud and clear. And so we did the due diligence to go out and find out where these resources were and how we could use them to our advantage. And I think that Mr. Mitchell has come up with a project that has a lot of attributes to it with respect to economic development, public benefit, ongoing success for families and communities with respect to jobs and whatnot. And I just think that this is a great project, and it seems to fit the recipe that was put out several years ago by the legislature. And I just wanted to show my support for this and congratulate Mr. Duff on bringing this project forward.
Thank you, Mr. Kraft. Let's come back to the room here. We have Mr. Hessen with IBEW.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Rodney Hessen with IBEW Local 1547. I also represent Juno Building Trades. In the interest of time, I'll keep it brief. Obviously, I'm here because I believe this is a good project. I think that ADA will come to the same conclusion after doing their due diligence. I just want to focus on one thing, and that's the jobs that we'll create here in our community. The workforce here, these are going to be crucial jobs for them coming up. As you know, the climate here is looking a little grim, so we're hoping to also train some apprentices on this project and and kind of keep that succession planning going as the silver tsunami keeps washing up. There's about 10,000 people retiring a day, leaving the workforce, and so that's one of our challenges in the trades, keeping those slots filled and training people so that we can keep that workforce healthy. And that's all I have to say.
Questions for Mr. Hessen? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Milkey.
Mr. Chair, committee members, happy to be here to speak to you. My name is Max Milkey. I am the business manager for the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, Local 262 here in Southeast Alaska. I represent about 100 members. We also have about 15 apprentices in our program. At this time, we'd like to keep that going, of course. It's important to us. All the building construction trades here in Southeast Alaska, there's approximately 950 members. There's about 80 apprentices in our programs right now, and it's I'm not going to repeat what Mr. Grossi said, but it's about jobs, of course, and that's why we're here, and very important to our members. I was back here, lived through the, I guess I could say I lived through it, the late 80s and early 90s when we kind of had a recession in the state. Things were pretty tough, and I remember being a plumber pipe fitter back then, and my wife told me one time, he says, maybe you got to go look for a different career because work was tough, I'm telling you, and I know what it can be like, you know what I mean? So I think this is a great project, and we really need, you know, these private industry projects like this, because we all know that with the state budget deficit that's going to be happening here, and very important, these types of projects. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Milkey. Questions? Mr. Baxter.
Good afternoon. My name is Corey Baxter. I'm the Southeast District Rep for the Operating Engineers, Local 302. And let's go right into it here. The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 302, would like to make the following comments supporting the Sweetheart Lake Hydro Project, which will bring economic development activities that will impact and benefit Juneau and Southeast Alaska once it gets the authorization provided under SB 192. This project will create direct and indirect family wage jobs for the Juneau economy and the Juneau workforce, which is crucial to help sustain our local economy and provide an economic stimulus for the Juneau construction trades. The project will create opportunity for business growth and clean industry attraction to the capital city for industries that desire and use large amounts of renewable generated electricity. This project will provide hydropower electricity to local mines, displacing expensive electricity generated from fossil fuel sources. The cost savings could extend the mine's life of operation and help preserve Juneau's private employment in this industry sector. The Operating Engineers Local 302 believes that it is in the best interest of the state of Alaska to approve SB 192 and look forward to the economic benefits that this project will bring. Thank you for letting me testify this afternoon.
Question?
I have a question for Mr. Baxter. Does the Operating Engineers support the use of apprentices on this project?
Yes, they do.
Okay. And the last thing I'd like to add is to the labor movement, we've all talked about apprenticeship utilization, and I'd just like you to make sure that the contractor sticks to his guns and utilizes them as per your agreement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Reagan.
Mr. Chair, I just, Mr. Baxter is also my driveway snowplow guy, and he's not making a heck of a lot of money this winter, so he really needs this project.
Thanks, Dennis.
Juneau's a small town. I have rented from Mr. Baxter's dad before. So. With that, let's, if we can have Mr. Zagarlik? Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, sir.
Well, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. My name is Wayne Zagarlik, and I'm the Vice President and General Manager of Coeur Alaska. That's the owner and operator of the Kensington Mine. I'd like to say a few words regarding Senate Bill 192. The Kensington Mine directly employs approximately 340 employees. Additionally, we provide employment opportunities for approximately 30 contractors. Our single largest expense, operating expense, is labor. Our second largest operating expense is diesel-generated electricity. Our ability to provide sustainable employment for the local economy is very dependent on our ability to manage costs and reduce our operating costs. Competitive hydroelectricity could be a significant contributor towards that cause. I'd like to just provide some commentary here. It's no secret that for many years the Alaska economy has greatly benefited from significant energy supplier through our vast oil natural resources. Oil has been and will continue to be a great resource for our state. However, oil, I think, has overshadowed the potential for Southeast electrical potential, hydroelectric potential, to be another exportable energy supply that we're failing to exploit. There's been much discussion about the diversification of the Alaskan economy. Southeast has extensive hydroelectric potential. And it's my belief that Alaskans need to provide as much support as possible towards the development of infrastructure that will allow for generation and exportation of hydroelectric. This project is a true step towards that diversification, and the Sweetheart Lake project is ready to contribute towards that step. It's for these reasons that I would like to voice my support for SB 192. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, sir. Questions?
One quick one. Are you at liberty to say if this was to come to pass and you could lower your operating costs yet again, have a ballpark what it might be for extension of the mine life?
It's very difficult to quantify. You know, metal prices have a big role on what that would be. But I can tell you that any time we can reduce our operating costs, marginal grade material, it may not be ore at any given metal price, could become ore. So, you know, it just depends on market conditions at the time, but certainly there's no question that any time we can reduce our operating costs, we become more likely to extend the life of the mine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thanks for your testimony. And finally, Mr. Springsteen, were you planning on testifying? Excellent.
Thank you, Chairman. For the record, my name is John Springsteen. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. Based on the preliminary review of the project and the potential economic and environmental benefits, we believe the project may be suitable for ADA to issue bonds for. We would still need to go through our feasibility and due diligence analysis, as mentioned by other parties here. And what this request is today is to allow ADA to have the bonding authority. We have a limit of $25 million without prior legislative approval, and the SB 192 would allow ADA to issue bonds in excess of that amount.
Questions? Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here. And Mr. Terrio, did you want to testify? Former Senator Terrio? I don't really know how those titles work once we're emancipated.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gene Terrio with ADA. Sarah Fisher-Gobe with ADEA asked me to be here just to answer questions with regards to the potential loan out of the Power Project Fund. When I was at AEA, I was a part of the Power Project Loan Committee. You heard testimony from from Jesse earlier that there's a request that those sections be dropped out of the bill. So just in case you had questions, I was here to answer. However, if you drop those sections out, it becomes a moot point.
Okay, well, we're going to hold the bill for now. I mean, I will check with members and see what their thoughts are. But I appreciate that with no questions from the committee. So we're going to, I believe we've spoken to everyone.
Mr. Shutt is online, and he just has a giant Q next to his name, so I don't believe that he wanted to testify. Ethan, were you hoping to testify?
I was largely online to answer any questions if anyone had any.
Okay, questions of Siri, Mr. Shutt? Seeing none, thank you for being here, and we're going to set this bill aside. Next bill on the docket here today, Senate Bill 193. We have, I believe, roughly an hour left, if members can bear with us. Jesse, if you can please join us at the table. This is Senate Bill 193, Extend Exemption for Small Power Plants.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Again, my name is Jesse Logan, Chief of Staff to Senator McGuire. We appreciate you hearing both these bills in the same day in a timely manner. Again, I apologize for the sponsor not being able to attend. She's otherwise engaged. Senate Bill 193 is also a very simple bill. It seeks to extend the regulatory exemption for power plants that utilize renewable resources under 65 megawatts. The original exemption sunsetted January 1st, and we are looking to extend that until January 1st of 2025. As the committee knows, the electrical demand of the relatively small and dispersed population of Alaska is generally served by regulated utilities. The RCA of Alaska is charged with clarifying utilities, regulating rates, and resolving disputes and protect customers. However, Alaska has also seen an increase in private sector investment in the development of renewable energy systems across the state, and I think the last bill helps exemplify that. Previously, Alaska has exempted small power producers from regulations if they sell power on a wholesale basis to regulated utilities, who then distribute power to local customers. This system of exemption lowers the barrier cost to entry and reduces the regulatory overreach and regulatory costs borne by the state, and it helps small power producers that develop brand new financing for renewable systems. This exemption, like I said, expired on January 1st. Regulation can increase the cost of a project and pose barriers to investment, but also increases the cost of government through the RCA. 193 continues to put Alaska on a middle ground between a thoroughly deregulated market and a highly regulated market that we have currently in Alaska for most utilities. This arrangement maintains RCA oversight on the power purchasing agreements and thereby continues to provide a layer of protection for ratepayers. One of the most valuable projects to come to fruition under the previous exemption is the Fire Island Wind Project. I believe most people are aware of Siri's large wind farm just outside of Anchorage there. The negotiated off-take agreement and private risk investment dollars have now provided long-term flat-price renewable wind power to Chugach Electric Association for the last 2 years and have another 22 years to go on their power purchasing agreement. This bill helps to maintain an open door to Alaska's electrical market and encourages private sector investment in renewable energy and energy infrastructure across the state in general, which during this time of fiscal downturn is probably much needed. It is the belief of the sponsor that it is important to extend the sunset so that other independent projects can also have regulatory certainty and continue to develop Alaska's vast energy potential and at no cost to the state. Again, I have Mr. Mitchell here wearing a different hat, willing to testify on behalf of the Alaska Independent Power Producers Association, as well as others to testify.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Logan? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Logan, what fits under the definition of renewable energy as applicable to 193?
I believe in statute, through the chair, that there is a full list. It would include wind power, solar, geothermal, hydroelectric. I would assume heat pump transfers as well, but I don't know the entire list off the top of my head.
I might follow up, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to nail down, because the feds, have they finally made a decision that hydro is renewable?
I think Senator Murkowski is working on that, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Good question, Senator Bishop. Other questions? Okay, thank you. Mr. Mitchell.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. I'm testifying on behalf of support of Senate Bill 193 as the Executive Director for the Alaska Independent Power Producers Association. We represent a wide range of independent power producers that are what you would call non-utilities. This act extends the exemption of small power producers to a level at the lower federal level, removing some state overreach in our RCA regulations. As you know, regulation is costly. Time, money, and delays over a project are insured if this exemption is not extended. In other words, if you want to put up a little windmill or you are out in a village, you want to put a little solar or something that works with your local whatever, you got to go hire an attorney, you got to go fill out the paperwork, you got to go wait months, perhaps longer, depending on the filings, to even have the certificate in order to engage in the business. What this does is it allows us to continue the exemption at the federal standard, which is an exemption for all the small power producers. There is no fiscal impact to the state except that there is no paperwork being filled at the RCA, so I would submit that there's actually a lower cost. But conversely, it's a large impact to the developing renewable energy operators, especially the smaller ones, because this sometimes becomes a barrier to entry. Senate Bill 193 is an extension exemption that keeps the open for business sign and encourages private capital and private investors in the Alaska renewable energy sector. This is especially important now that state funding for energy projects is becoming less and less available from the public side. It's this particular exemption helps encourage the private investment. And so with that, I would just ask, Senate Bill 193 preserves the exemption already in place. It does nothing more. And I ask for your support and consideration in supporting and passing Senate Bill 193. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Questions for Mr. Mitchell? Senator Egan.
Just curious, Mr. Chair, and I should have asked the previous presenter, but Mr. Mitchell, the Alaska Power Association claims that the 65 megawatt size restriction is too high. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, I would submit that the federal regulation is actually 80, so we're already a little bit lower than what the federal standard is. And this is a unique case where the federal has less regulation than the state in this matter. But the 65 is what was currently in the previous bill, and we're just asking for an extension of the date rather than asking for any further changes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. We have Mr. Kraft. I'm going to open public testimony and leave it open for both bills, 192 and 193, just in case we decide we want to make any changes that we care to hear from the public about. So 193's public testimony is open, and we have Mr. Kraft again. Mr. Kraft.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm calling in support of this, extending this bill. Being able to go out there and develop renewable energy projects is a pretty tough gig. And to have the uncertainty of whether you can actually obtain a certificate of public convenience or get the permission of a utility or anybody else in the state of Alaska to move forward a project has been a real barrier for our project at the Delta Wind Farm. And I can tell you that because of the fact that we've been exempt from regulation, we've been able to develop a project that's going to bring about $54 million worth of development capital to the Delta Junction area in the next 2 years. And I am calling in support of extending this bill. And as Mr. Mitchell implied, you know, currently under federal law, the number is actually 80 megawatts. And so I think it's a very conservative number to stay at 65, and I can't see where there would be too many renewable energy projects out there that would even get near 65 megawatts. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Kraft? Mr. Shutt, I see you're on there again for questions. Obviously, this would affect your project, I would think. Any questions for Mr. Shutt? Seeing none, thanks for being there. And then we have Janice Wilson from the RCA. Any questions for Ms. Wilson? Well, I have a question for Ms. Wilson. She's on there for questions only, but What is the view of the RCA on Senate Bill 193, and do you see any potential negative impacts to ratepayers in the long run?
The RCA, Mr. Chairman, has no position on this bill at this time. In order to take an official position, we need to discuss it at a public meeting and take a vote.
Okay. I'll ask that in a different way. In what ways might Senate Bill 193, the extension for small power plants, negatively affect ratepayers?
I don't believe it does. However, once again, that is my position rather than the position of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. That's my personal position as a commissioner.
So if we're calling the RCA for just advice on some key issues to look at on this bill, you have no way to assist this committee in that decision-making process?
There would be an inquiry to our chairman to put this on a public meeting for us to discuss and take a position on the bill.
Can you suggest a state agency that might be somewhat more helpful? I certainly don't mean that negatively. Someone that doesn't feel like they're adjudicating some sort of a decision by us being careful in our decision making.
I think there are five of us, and there are differing opinions, I assume, among the five of us, as there usually are, although on this bill there may not be. We simply haven't discussed it. And we're happy to discuss it and to get back to you, but we just can't take a position on it at this time.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, I don't see anyone here. We're going to hold this bill. Mr. Protier, do you have any other comments?
I do, but I'll keep it to myself right now.
Okay. Other committee members? I'm largely supportive of both concepts, and for the building trades, I appreciate you being here. I personally think that without projects that are moving the state forward, the state begins to die, so I'm glad you're here. When you do testify, I would also stress why the projects are important instead of just the jobs. We love the jobs, but we want the public to be supportive of the primary objective of the project as well. Some of you covered that, but just a good way to reach out and communicate with Alaskans about why capital infrastructure is so important to us. So with that,
I was actually hoping to do a public testimony and for support of 192. I was only going to say one thing.
Oh, you're welcome. Sure. No, you.
Kirk Parasich with the Carpenters Local 1281. I also represent for the millwrights and pile drivers. The pile drivers, millwrights, and carpenters will get work out of this. We also have a maintenance provision in the millwrights, so there would be potential for long-term work for the millwrights. And for a project like this, now that we have the Alaska provision hire, it will make it so Alaska sees that money. On the project right down the street at the Juno cruise ship berth, because it's not under the 90% provision, it's manned solely, or not solely, but mainly, majority from Washington. And a lot of that money won't stay in Alaska. And that was all I had to say on it.
Thank you. I appreciate you testifying. Could you please sign in so we can get all the groups that you represent? Thank you. I don't know if that's the right sheet, but okay, with that, anyone else? I should have asked anyone from the room choosing or that would like to testify. Seeing no one, we are adjourned at 2:07.